The Lord is with us, heart dwellers, and His heart is very much to instruct us about what we have to look forward to tonight. I've been pondering a great deal of what the Lord has said and the destruction that's going to occur on the earth and what is written in Revelation, and it's really made me heartsick. And the Lord addressed that tonight. We began by dancing, and I was wearing black. Both of us were wearing black, which is usually a sign of mourning when the Lord allows that, allows me to see myself in black. And I said, "Oh Lord, I can't bear to see what's coming." Carol has been praying continuously and in constant pain, weeping and weeping. "Lord, forgive me. I'm struck with fear of what's coming on the whole earth. Can you not give me some numbing agent? My heart feels paralyzed with fear." He replied, "I am here. Hold on to me tightly. I am your stronghold. Bury your head in my chest when you need to gut it out. I know what it's all about. I am sharing my crushing pain with you, but only in such tiny drops that even the eye cannot see. Yes, what must come to pass is a terrible thing. A terrible thing. But this is the refining fire I must prepare my people with, and everyone must pass through this fire, even as the earth passes through it. Yet I will never abandon them. Never. I walk beside each one, even those who do not call on my name. I walk with them in hopes that they will finally confess their sin and come to me fully repentant, ready to start a new life, even if it begins with the body's physical death. Yes, even that, nothing will be compared to the suffering of those who choose the mark. Nothing in this life compares with the torment of those who receive the mark and the torments of hell that are to follow it." I felt moved to look up the scriptures. In Revelation 9, "The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months, and the agony they suffer was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them." Revelation 9. And then the other scriptures that came to mind: "Go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of the wrath of God." So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. And the Lord began speaking again. That, by the way, was Revelation 16. "Speak to my people, daughter. Warn them again and again. The most foolish thing they can do is to receive that mark. Everything I have written in my word through the prophets and apostles has indeed come to pass. Once they wake up to the reality of that, it's a short walk to see how the next 7 years will go, including what will happen to those who accept the mark. Please, my children, don't be stubborn like the mule." And Psalm 32 came to mind. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. And then at this point, I wanted to share something with you. So I wrote, as we get closer and closer to the time, my dear heart dwellers, the reality of what the Lord must do to the earth, the destruction of life and property, is beginning to set in as a very painful event. One of our volunteers had a vision of this town where we live, and it was almost totally leveled, except for a very few houses way out on the mesa. As I pondered this, I have to admit, my heart was really heavy. And this scripture came to mind from Revelation 6. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. By the way, when we were on a mission trip in Colombia and lived there for 3 months, there was great talk among the prophets there about the great earthquake. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? The Lord is saying here that it's going to be a greater earthquake than has ever been. And when Noah was floating on the surface of the water and the continents were separating, I mean, that must have been tremendous turbulence. He's saying here that this is going to be even more turbulent. And the scriptures continue at this point. This is from Revelation 16. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones weighing about 100 pounds fell on people. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. And that's been recorded, by the way, in South America. They've had tremendous hailstones fall at different times. And it can be connected to the turbulence of volcanoes, I understand. So I continue on with my thoughts here. All across the world, Lord, people have worked so hard to have what they need to live. And during a war, they're stripped of everything. It makes me feel very badly for the innocent who suffer so much loss. About 25 years ago, I had a vision of walking over bodies. The Lord and I were walking through a field of just carnage everywhere. In fact, I think it was a city that we were walking to. Everything was charred. There were bodies lying on the ground. Men, women, and children were scattered everywhere. I did a pen and ink drawing and kept it all these years. And I realize now that this vision is about to become reality. My heart was so heavy I couldn't go on with the message. So I called Ezekiel to pray for me. He had a vision of Jesus and I in a rubber raft. He was paddling as we passed over what looked like a scene from the catastrophic Indonesian tsunami, or the aftermath of a hurricane. Wreckage and rubble was floating everywhere. Boards, downed trees, broken houses, everything in this once inhabitable town was now shredded and floating in the water. However, off in the distance was a shoreline he was paddling towards. It was about 200 yards out, and everything was regenerating even as we looked at it. A pure primordial mist was rising. Ferns were opening in this lush Eden-like garden. Everything was pristine, pure, and clean. even the air. Then Jesus said, keep your eyes on the shore. Keep your eyes on the shore. After Ezekiel told me this and prayed against sentimentality and mixed emotions, a spirit of emotional confusion, it lifted off of me. Nevertheless, the world has never seen this level of destruction, and I cannot even imagine how people could survive it. I'm sharing this with you, heart dwellers, in case you're feeling some of the same things. Jesus, I trust in you. At this point, the Lord picked up again and began speaking. Claire, everything unclean must be destroyed before I come to rule. I'm going to wipe the slate clean, so to speak, and return the earth to the purity of Eden. This must happen. The old must be destroyed before the new can be brought forth. And even 1,000 years from the tribulation, people will talk about this the very same way they talk about Noah. Yes, the earth was cleansed, but not totally restored in Noah's day. Just as you burn the weeds from a field before planting, so must I burn the weeds of this civilization to make way for a new life. Man has not learned his lesson. This second cleansing will accomplish much in the way of reverential fear of God. In the beginning of my reign, joy will reign supreme, but iniquity will again find its way into the earth until the second Armageddon. That will put a final end to this strain of evil that lies dormant in the genetic makeup of man. Until then, it is a long journey with many ups and downs, and yet many glorious stories to be told. Persevere, my holy people. Do not grow weary. There is an end in sight when heaven will dwell in the earth, and all mankind shall worship me, and peace shall reign, even as if springing up from the very soil. Do not grieve. Keep your eyes on the shore. Until then, remember, I am in the back of the raft, paddling it forward into eternal glory. And I felt impressed to look up the scripture. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new, for these words are faithful and true. That's from Revelation 21. And as I just finished recording this, Ezekiel had been in prayer and overheard the message, and he came to share something with me. The Lord had spoken to him and said that there would be 3 distinct phases. The first one would be regeneration, spontaneous regeneration of all plant and tree life. The second would be rebuilding, as with Nehemiah. And they set to work with one heart, with Jesus directing. And the third, complete restoration, and every man shall sit beneath his own tree. Once again will he hear the sounds of joy and laughter, and little children playing in the streets. It's a beautiful word of hope for us tonight. For those of you who are here during the tribulation, this is a beautiful word of hope. Hold on to it. Bury it deep in your heart. And don't let the enemy steal it with his lies. The Lord bless you, heart dwellers.